It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. I'm Jim Galante, sitting in for Dustin, along with the great one, Greg Pickle. We're going to talk more Iowa in a second, but quarter number two, it's brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the best way to get a single-game RV experience in Happy Valley. Greg, I was talking to you about it off the air. Mm-hmm. I got to stay there again last weekend. Lots of fun. Big screen TV. We watching games on Friday night. 409 barbecue and wines are there. Shuttle drives you to the game. And I actually got to meet some great people. Shout out to Mike and Tony and Felicia and Lynn and their group. They were lots of fun. Gave me lots of alcohol. So that always endears people to me.
Yes.
And anyway, it was a lot of fun. So if you're a Keystone Kickoff fan, give Mark a call or check in at GoPSURV.com. If you want the RV experience and a good time, head on out there. All right, let's pick up where we left off, Greg, talking Penn State, Iowa football. And we were talking about the influence of the freshman receivers.
Yep.
Now, here was a thing. Our good buddy Steve Johnson sends us the snap counts. They're unofficial, but they're pretty good, and here's something that sticks out. Juwan Johnson, 9 snaps. I was surprised he had that many. I was watching it on TV. I noticed him once when he was wide open, and Trace chose not to throw him the ball.
Yeah. No, I mean, James Franklin said after the game that he was still not 100%, so whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, certainly there was an emphasis to get some other guys into the game. He wasn't listed as a starter. You know, they started Tompkins, Hamler, and Polk. Mac Hippenhammer picked up some of his snaps. Jahan Dotson picked up some of his snaps. I would say it's probably a mixture of both, Jim. It was a little bit of, injury worry still. I think that was part of it. And I also think part of it, too, was just simply the fact that he probably, you know, is not practicing all that much, or at least not last week because of the injury. And, you know, his performance, too. I mean, at some point, he's a veteran guy that they have a lot of confidence in, and they think he can be a big contributor for them. But it just hasn't worked out that way so far this year for the most part. So I think it was a little bit of everything. I would expect to see more of him at Michigan, but I still think you're going to see some pretty evenly distributed snaps. I think you got to get Hippenhammer more snaps. You got to get Dotson more snaps. Jim, 33 for Brandon Polk, which is about half of the offensive possessions. I mean, at some point, he's in the same boat too, where he drops some passes. He doesn't, necessarily always run the best routes from what it looks like. He doesn't have a catch despite playing 33 snaps. Only 4 guys recorded snaps for Penn State, or catches rather, for Penn State. I mean, this was by far one of the more interesting offensive games for the Lions, because there was only 4 guys who recorded catches, but they didn't light up the rushing stats either. I mean, you go back and rewatch this game, and it's amazing how it all came together for Penn State to win based on everything that, played out during the contest.
So, in other words, based on the stats, they should have lost.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
Well, and just one last note on the receivers. When you see Polk play that many snaps, how many times was he targeted? Do you know?
That's a good question. I don't. They only track targets for for guys that have at least 1 catch. So I don't have those stats in front of me. But I have to say, I don't think it was often. I mean, I really, truly don't. I can't really think back to many chances that he had to, make a play, or that Trace McSorley looked his way. So, I mean, it felt like at least 1, Tommy Stevens threw his way in the second quarter. So that would have been after Trace McSorley went out. Trace did throw to him in the third quarter, so he had at least 2 targets. But, I mean, that's a lot of time on the field. It looks like just 2. So, the ball came his way twice on 33 snaps. I think it tells you a little bit about how the defense lined up, but also just that, there's some other guys that maybe are a little bit more reliable out there on the field, and Trace McSorley and or Tommy Stevens was able to get him the ball.
How come Miles Sanders isn't being used at all in the passing game?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, he was, I don't think he was looked at all in the passing game. I could be wrong, but if he was, it was very, very seldom. I mean, this is a guy that Was targeted twice. I'm sorry. He was targeted twice. So, you know, they looked at him a little bit, but not much. And, you know, again, it's just, it feels like one of those situations where they say they're going to try and get him more involved. They say that it's a focus and that they do take what the defense gives them and all that, but it never seems to translate to game day. And I think he can be used and be a threat from the backfield like Saquon Barkley was, but they're not using him that way right now, and they couldn't get the run game going. And look, that's a really, really good Iowa run defense, so it wasn't a surprise that they couldn't get the run game going. But it does feel like you could add some creativity and some flair to your offense if you used him out of the backfield, which Penn State, for whatever reason, just hasn't done that often this year.
And speaking of Miles Sanders, I've got another pet peeve going here.
Okay.
And this, I'll even go all the way back to the Joe Paterno era. If they threw an incompletion on first down, you could almost bet second down was a draw play.
Yeah.
I saw a game where I counted that 9 times in a row they did that. The 10th time, the quarterback came up to the line and called timeout because he just knew it wasn't going to work.
Right.
And I'm starting to see some of that tendency here. I am looking at the game stats. 5 times there were incompletions on first down. 3 of the 5 times they ran Sanders on 2nd and 10.
Right.
And when they had 2nd and short, 2nd and 3 and 4, and there was a series late in the game where I thought, here's a real opportunity to establish the running game.
Yep.
They didn't run the ball.
No. No, they didn't. And I think that was really a frustrating thing for a lot of Penn State fans because, you know, that's one thing I think that if you're going to, you can blame Ricky Ronnie for plenty. I think that, you know, some things unfairly fall on his shoulders, Jim, and some things fairly do. But they get into these ruts, don't they, where you can almost predict what's coming. And guess what? So can other defensive coordinators. And that's why they're able to shut Penn State down. And then, you know, I was a big proponent of this offensive line for almost all of the offseason and most of the start of the season. But at this point, Jim, do you feel confident being able to run behind them? I don't know. I really, truly don't. I mean, there's times when it looks like they can. They can run behind this offensive line. There's times it just looks like that they can't, and that's a problem, a big problem.
And I think the rut is a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
You feel like watching a game, you know what's coming, and they don't use Miles Sanders in other more creative ways, mm-hmm. or at least different ways. Let's move on back to Trace McSorley. He gets hurt. On TV, it looks like the knee went, that he might be gone for the game, maybe even the season, and he comes back. Is this guy indestructible?
Yes, he is. He absolutely is. I mean, there's no way around it at this point. I mean, it's simply incredible how this guy just is able to bounce back and, you know, make seemingly he goes from being what looks like hurt and out of the game and not going to come back in to. And that play looked ugly, Jim. I mean, I don't know what it looked like on TV, but I mean, live, you looked in it, you know, you could have heard a pin drop in Beaver Stadium, and the whole place went silent, and you watched it live, and you thought, oh, man, there's no way this kid's coming back in the game. And then he somehow comes back, and not only comes back in the game, but breaks off a 51-yard touchdown run that breaks a 17-17 tie, which was simply incredible. I mean, the more this kid does, the more amazed you become with how good he is and how successful he is. I mean, it's really, truly incredible to watch at this point. And, man, if Penn State ever loses, you know, this guy for good, I think they feel good about Tommy Stevens, and they're going to lose him for good at the end of this season. But, man, he is something else, Jim. He is really, truly one of a kind and a true, you know, bounce back, resilient, tough kid that just does it all.
And he is the perfect example of the quarterback position being more than just measurables and statistics.
Yep.
I mean, on the surface, Tommy Stevens is bigger, stronger, has the bigger arm, stronger runner.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
You know who your
There's
starter
Trace.
Is and
right.
who you trust, who you want out there with the game on the line. It's
right.
It's absolutely incredible. Here's one quick question on that. It looked like Tommy Stevens was going to take over for the rest of the game.
Yes.
I think we all thought that. What was your over-under on how many rushes Tommy Stevens would have had if he played the balance of the game?
I mean, you look at the number he did end up having. He finishes as one of Penn State's third highest rusher with 5 carries for 18 yards. He has a touchdown run, of course. But, yeah, I mean, it was actually kind of disappointing to me because I wanted to see him throw the ball. I really did. Not that, look, I mean, Trace McSorley is the guy, and he always has been the guy. But guess what? When the clock runs out on the 2018 season, it's either going to be Sean Clifford or Tommy Stevens, and it's probably going to be Tommy Stevens. So I would like to see him go to the air a little bit more. I mean, I thought the one throw he made down the sideline, Jim, I think it was to – was it to Polk down the sideline? I think it was.
Yeah,
and it was in his hands.
And
dropped it. Yeah, so I thought that was a nice throw. I mean, that was about 50 yards in the air, 45, 50 yards in the air. It looked like a good throw. But other than that, yeah, I wish we could have seen just a little bit more from him.
It looked like he could have gotten it out a little quicker, a little sooner when Polk had step, and he may have had to come back for it a bit. But it just looked like he throws such a pretty long ball.
Yeah, right.
I think we're all curious to see him. Going back to the receivers and special teams, I'll combine them into one name. KJ Hamler.
Mm-hmm.
Does this guy not do something special every single game?
Every game, Jim. It's incredible at this point. It really truly is. I mean, he just wows you. He continues to wow you. And every time you think you've seen the best play he's going to make, he finds a way to somehow make a better one. I mean, truly, he is a special player. Penn State, you know, the faith the coaching staff had in him to come back from a knee injury that cost him his entire senior season was certainly played out and was worthwhile in the end, because this guy is going to be a primetime player. I don't know if you keep him for all 4 years, because he could certainly maybe go to the NFL after his junior year. But either way, I mean, whatever they get out of this guy is going to be simply fantastic.
Well, every time the opposing team scores, after my disappointment sets in, my next thing is, oh, but we get to see KJ Hamler return a kickoff.
Exactly. Yep.
I mean, it's you can't miss it. You can't if you're at the stadium. Do not get up and take a break. You got to stay there and make sure you don't miss the kickoff.
Absolutely.
Quickly becoming a favorite player. Let's talk a little bit Iowa. Kirk Ferentz, he played to win. He coached to win. But how do you explain that fourth down call at the end of the first half?
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, we sit here and we can talk about playing to win and coaching to win and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, you know, I look at it and I say that's almost playing to lose in a way. I mean, how many times has Kirk Ferentz in his life, do you think, as long as he's been a head coach, what, 25 years now or whatever, how many times do you think he's punted in that situation? 98% of the time? He had no chance to get that, especially not with Nate Stanley, who was just terrible. And they seemed to me, Jim, that they had thought they could beat Penn State on a tendency, something they saw on film. And as soon as it didn't work out the way they wanted it to, it was all downhill from there.
Well, he coached a great game in a lot of ways, and that's the thing. When it works, it's great coaching. When it doesn't, Not so much. All right. That's it for quarter number two. Stick around. Quarter number three, we're going to do a national roundup.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh, yeah. And more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you. So that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.